The opening words today, though we travel the world over to find the beautiful, we must carry it with us or we find it not. Ralph Waldo Emerson.
And now you may be seated. At this time in the service, a tradition of the first Sunday of each month, we have a member of the congregation share their spiritual journey. Today's spiritual journey is going to especially focus on child dedication, which is a tradition in Unitarian Universalist churches. All of my children have been dedicated. It is a wonderful experience for the congregation to commit themselves to the guidance of a young person in the congregation. And so today we're going to hear from 9-year congregation member, past member of several committees, and a past president, Amber Kelly.
Good morning. I call myself Amber Kelly Collins these days. That's okay. When I was a baby, the story as I remember it goes that my mother didn't care strongly one way or another, but my aunt felt it was very important that I be baptized. She didn't feel like it, she wasn't connected to a faith community. I wasn't connected to a faith community at that time, but she wanted that watermark on my forehead. So she got some water from the bathroom, and she put it on my forehead and said my name, and it was okay. She felt okay after that. And when I think of it that way, I imagine her thinking that when I got to the gates of heaven, they would pass some sort of machinery over my forehead to see if I had the mark. And if I had it, I'd get in, and if I didn't, I'm sunk. So if that's the way it is, I've been to concerts where they have kind of an invisible stamp that they put on your hand, and you can go out and come back, they put the light over to see if you have the stamp. I imagine it kind of like that. And to me, child dedication is a relative of the sacrament of baptism, but it's a little different to me, and the purpose of it is a little different to me. All of my children have been dedicated in this congregation, and it is very important to me. But when I think of it, it's a sacrament, kind of like the sacrament of marriage. If we want to just have a relationship, myself and my partner, we can say to each other, we have a relationship, and this is very deeply important to us, and that is enough for some people. But marriage as a sacrament in a faith community means we're all going to get together and see these two people promise to each other that this is something important. It's not just marriage isn't something between two people, it's between the community. And this sacrament or this special dedication, this special thing that we do that we call child dedication is something that we witness, and Reverend Betty has done it beautifully for all of my children. We dedicate ourselves as a community to the spiritual guidance of these children. And that's something that parents can do too. They could just like people can have a relationship without the sacrament of marriage. Parents can guide and people can guide children in spiritual ways without that. But I feel like it's special. Now, many of you may know that I am married in a mixed marriage. My husband is a Quaker. And I'm a UU, we still get along. And the Quakers, for a very long time, have been uninterested in pageantry of any sort. Back in the 1600s, I can't think of the name right now, and I didn't write it down, but there was a Quaker theologian who said, I'm paraphrasing, we don't need baptism because every child is born with the light within them. And no amount of pouring water on them is going to make that light any more important or special. And that is There's a point to that. You know, you're not changing the molecules in the child, perhaps. You know, it's just a little party we have. And maybe we don't need to do that to make this child special. And the Quaker communities do, I'm a part of one myself, and they do support their children's religious and spiritual growth throughout their lives. They're very dedicated to that, even without this baptism of any sort. But what we do here means so much to me. I'll tell you what it's like and what it's been like for us. Many of you have been to many of these, but for anybody who isn't really familiar with it, we have some special water, and we use our special water to drop candles of joy and sorrow into, and we gather with our in-gathering, we bring our waters together, and we use a little tincture of some of that water, and we put it in a dish, and there's, for these young children, and this is any young child, my daughter Eve was dedicated when she was 5. There was another little girl who was dedicated that same day, and I've been teaching religious education classes now. She's 7 or 8 now, and she's still with us, and it's beautiful to see the young lady she's grown up to, but at that point she was an infant, no hair, you know, no shoes, very cute. But, you know, it didn't matter. It's the same thing that we do for these young children. It's young. So we take a rose with the thorns taken off, and Reverend Betty dips the rose into the water, and she doesn't get them very wet. This is not full immersion here. She touches the rose to their forehead and says, "I touch your head that you may think clearly. I touch your lips that you may speak the truth. I touch your heart that you may love deeply. And I touch your hands that you may do good work in the world." It brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it, because this is what we wish for the children, this is what we wish for ourselves. Compounding this meaningful sacrament that we have, when the children grow to graduate from high school, we have a different ceremony, the bridging ceremony, which is another sort of important thing that we do. This time, they do the same ceremony with the rose with the thorns on. The rose for the young child symbolizes that we will make this easier for you. We're going to make you safe. We're going to keep you comfortable. And we're going to teach you what you need to know. And then once they're adults, we can't protect them any longer. The thorns are there, but we're still here. And we still want the same thing for them. In the book Anatomy of the Spirit by Caroline Miss, she relates the sacrament of baptism to the first chakra. I don't know if anybody's interested in chakras here. I bet some people are. But the first chakra is the base chakra. It's the red chakra. It's the one at the very center of the bottom of your spine, at the where the tailbone is. It's a very animal thing. And it's about feeling secure in your community and your family. And some people think some of this chakra stuff is hocus pocus. You know, we have many scientists among us who would like to see some proof, but it is absolutely true that we have a spine, and it has our spinal cord in it, and there's lots of very important nerves that come off of that, and it's right about the spot where we sit when we sit together, and it's our foundation. And I don't know if this baptism idea and this dedication idea is absolutely scientifically related to that spot. But it's a lovely thought. And I will leave you with that idea, that if you have a child that you would like to be welcomed within the loving arms of this congregation, as my children have, and I don't regret it one speck, because it's been so valuable to me. It's not going to do any harm. And it's probably going to do some good. Thank you.
My apologies to Mr. and Mrs. Collins. And I don't think that there's any age limit on child dedications. I think that anyone who is a child, is considered a child, or considers themselves a child can be a part of this partnership with the congregation. At this time, we'll hear the sermon from longtime member and high energy doer of all good things, Marie Yunkin Waldman.
Welcome to Tea with Marie. Please go put the kettles on, make yourself comfortable, take some time to have a cup of tea with us, and be a guest with us on Tea with Marie. This is the way I introduced every Tea with Marie show for 8 years on Cox Cable here in Rhode Island. The show was aired a couple of times a week, and we taped two shows back to back in the Lincoln studio every other week, as well as location shows around the state and New England. The crew was a combination of retired teachers and friends, most of whom had never been behind a camera or directed a show. We learned together and we bonded along the way. It was a growing experience for us all. We stopped doing Tea with Marie a few years ago after having produced over 250 shows in 8 years. So how was this experience a spiritual journey? I think it was in many ways. First of all, I had never produced a television show before that was based on my own ideas. True, I had many years of experience as a volunteer host on Able To, a show put on by the Governor's Commission on Disabilities, where I interviewed people related to disability issues. But I had never created, produced, and hosted my own show that was my own idea. It was my inspiration, and I felt personally fulfilled when I was doing it. Here's how it happened. I had spent 15 years, both professionally and as a volunteer, working in the field of disabilities, especially in advocacy for hearing loss. It was satisfying, but one day I woke up and thought, I am more than a hearing loss. I am a person, number one, with creative ideas that need to be expressed. So, I retired from some of the volunteer state councils in order to have more time available. And I put together a portfolio of television videos and a proposal, and I went to talk to Cox Studios. I had always wanted to be in television ever since my mom took me as a young child to see the Howdy Doody show. And that dates my age right there, huh? Live. Sometimes we have to listen to the voice that calls within us and beckons us to a new and different world of creative expression where we can be truly ourselves. Cox liked the idea, and Tea with Marie was born. How did I plan to do this? Well, one of my first thoughts was my grandmother, a stately and gracious lady who had taught me about beauty in the world and who partook of a tea ceremony every afternoon. That's it. I would serve my guests tea on the set and try to create an atmosphere of beauty, gentility, and tranquility. Those would be the key words. I was anxious to create an antidote to the constant barrage of fires, rapes, and murders that we are subjected to every day on the local news. I felt that our brains and our hearts needed an opportunity for balance in order to survive. And I was going to do my little best to help create it with a positively focused show for Rhode Islanders that would focus on the vast array of talent available in this state. And there is a lot of talent in this state. There really were not many outlets on Rhode Island television for this kind of thing. Now let me say a few words about beauty and why I think it's important. The definition from Wikipedia says, beauty is a quality of a person, object, place, or idea that provides a perceptual experience of pleasure, affirmation, meaning, or goodness. It often involves the interpretation of some entity as being in balance and harmony with nature. This leads to powerful feelings of attraction and emotional well-being. Beauty may engender a salient experience of positive reflection about the meaning of one's own existence. The meaning of one's own existence. Religious and moral teachings often focus on the divinity and the virtue of beauty, and to assert natural beauty as an aspect of a spirituality and a truth. Aesthetics is the philosophical discipline of understanding the nature and the meaning of beauty. Natural is the contemplation of nature, and the poetic begins where natural beauty leaves off. There is inner beauty and outer beauty. I believe that it is important to make a conscious effort to put beauty in your life every single day. Gentility is also important, as it helps us to remember to be kind and considerate with each other and to teach our children by example. And tranquility, I believe, is what we all need to stay healthy and balanced. Now, here are some examples from some of our shows, which I hope exemplify the above values. Dancing with Kim Greenberg. Kim is a lovely, graceful butterfly who dances for cancer patients and makes them feel better. She had me dancing on the set. Singing with Maya Breuer, a yoga teacher and a terrific jazz singer. Maya and I actually sang an African duet at the end of our show, impromptu. And I'm the one that can't hear anything, you know. So who knows if it was on tune. Anyway, laughing with the crew members. We shared many laughs among ourselves about funny things on the set, such as when I was wearing a scarf for an African drumming segment, And the gals were stifling their laughter because behind the cameras because the scarf was slowly working its way down over my eyes, and I didn't know it. Anyway, we grew and we bonded together as a group of women, and that was so special. Taking tea with Jane Lancaster. Jane is an historian who lives in Providence, and we were at the Chinese tea house at the Marble House in Newport, and she was speaking about how Alva Belmont Vanderbilt had had tea right there in that same Chinese tea house where she met with her suffragette women friends early in the 20th century. Talk about rights for women. Visiting the Attleboro Industrial Museum, where we viewed an apron exhibit. And I learned that aprons are much more than cloths to protect clothing. They are reminders of mothers and grandmothers and the wonderful smells of supper cooking. I've never looked at aprons again the same way. Well-known author David Baldacci shared laughs with us, and then he explained how he felt that oral stories were so important to be handed down from generation to generation, as his grandmother had done, which inspired his novel, Wish You Well. Barnaby Evans and I, discussing the meaning of water fire and the spiritual aspect of the primitive music that accompanies it. Agnes Doody, who many of us know in this community, retired from URI, came on the show one day, and she taped a show with a group of children from a local elementary school. The tables had been set up with china and silverware and food, and she taught the children about table manners and etiquette, which silverware you use, and I'll never forget her telling the children, when you eat your soup, you take your spoon and it swims away from you as you eat your soup, drink your soup. My son Tom was on one of the earlier shows with an Audubon birding expert named Suzanne French. And it really was a treat for me to watch both of them speaking equally knowledgeably about birds and nature. Tom, who's now in computer sales, has loved birding as a hobby since he was maybe 3 years old, when he got up early on Long Island and went down with my mother, and she told him about the birds that came up to the door before everyone else had woken up. We taped a show at the State House on a very, very cold, freezing February evening where we were having a tea for the Big Sisters. And we carried all the tea paraphernalia and the cameras back through the old cellar of the State House. If you're familiar with it, it's kind of spooky, actually. And it was a very cold night. Some of us didn't have coats on. But the hearts of our big and little sisters were so warm. They were the honored guests, and they enjoyed their elegantly laid out tea, and they listened to a singer we had named Greg Bonin, who sang the most beautiful songs for them in his wonderful tenor voice. So these are just a few examples of some of the shows where we celebrated beauty, gentility, and tranquility. I really think that beauty, gentility, and tranquility make a good addition to our daily life in our community or in any community. I believe that with them, you can't go wrong. The closing words The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller.